Hey guys, on a quest for epic gear, housewares, and collectibles, Loot Crate offers an epic range of pop culture items for less than 20 bucks a month. Whether you're shopping for the geek in your life or you are that geek, Loot Crate is the best surprise you know is coming. Every month there's a different theme and new exclusive items you can only get with Loot Crate. Treat yourself every month or give the gift of geeking out to a friend or loved one. For April, join us as we salute some of our favorite mystery solvers with items from Stranger Things, Batman, The X-Files, and Marvel's Jessica Jones. One lucky subscriber will also win a mega crate including signed copies of Jessica Jones Alias Volumes 1 through 4. You have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific to subscribe and receive that month's crate, and when the cutoff happens, that's it. It's over. Make sure to head to www.lootcrate.com/boogie and enter code BOOGIE to save $3 off any new subscription today.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm.
The Boogie Monster, podcasting the unknown.
The tequila drunks are... I'm just, like, too conscious when I'm drunk on tequila. I'm just there, like, I'm just...
What do you mean, you?
I'm just
too aware?
Yeah, I'm like, oh, I've drank a lot, but I understand all my words, mm-hmm. And I'm still saying stuff I mean.
Whiskey just takes you to
Whiskey
dumb town.
Man, oh man, I love your mom. Like, and I don't know who their mom is, and I don't have an accent normally. Like, that's I miss that. I miss it.
I understand.
Well, because we're gonna go. Oh, I started too. I started right away.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nah.
Is this guy gonna get old where I start and I don't tell you? You're like, oh, yo, we were starting. We were rolling.
Not,
the whole time.
Not until I'm smart enough to figure out that it's happening.
I told you I killed that child when we were rolling. Look at that. Look at you bringing your own solo cups around.
Yeah. You got a deal on a bunch of cups.
You could talk about how you got a deal on a bunch of cups.
Yeah.
You know what? How much are they normally?
Well, usually they're about $3.
Whoa, what? Tell me the savings.
I got a nice sleeve for $1.99.
You got a sleeve?
Yeah, I got a sleeve of cups.
You ever just think about buying one regular cup?
Not when I don't have access to plumbing.
All right, well.
Everything I have is disposable.
Oh, it's just so sad.
It's not sad. What do I care?
Well, we're drinking whiskey because we're going to go see the old 97th.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I forgot that for some reason I thought it was Saturday.
They're playing somewhere else Saturday, but I'm gone Saturday.
I'm sure they're playing somewhere else. But you sprung it on me like an hour ago, and I was like, oh, shit, that's tonight.
Yeah, old Rhett Miller, nice enough to text your boy. And
that's cool that your buddy's with him. We went and saw him a few months ago when he was doing the
solo thing.
And
Troubadour. He's just a nice guy. I didn't realize how connected he was with the comedy scene.
Yeah.
There's some trivia.
Mm-hmm.
The joke on Whiskey Icarus from, at this point, 5 years ago or so ago.
Has it been that long?
I recorded that in 2012.
That's right.
About getting a cab to Wendy's.
Yeah.
Taking a van cab to Wendy's was after the first time I saw old
97. A van cab?
Yeah. The first time I saw them at the Henry Fonda. We're going to see him tonight. I didn't know him. Greg Barrett, comedian Greg Barrett.
Yeah, I know Greg.
I was like, I know him. Yeah, I'll talk to him. You can get tickets. And I got there. I was with Fritz. Backstage pass and everything. I tried to go backstage. Was super wasted. I think I hit my head on some plumbing or something. And as I left, I tweeted, I'm like, I'm too drunk to be backstage at the old 97s concert. And Rhett Miller tweeted back, me too. I was like, oh, I like this guy. So big shout out to the old 97s and their new album. And we're going to go see them as soon as we're done with this bullshit that we do.
New album, Graveyard Whistling. Very solid album.
Yeah.
Very good. I've gone through that several times so far. Good album.
Yeah, good. And some good rollickers. Mm-hmm. Rollickers and Ramblers.
Yeah, both.
Well, let's... Oh, by the way, this is a Boogie Monster. With, you know what, this week? With Dave Stone and Kyle Kinane.
Mm.
I'm putting your name first, buddy.
I get top billing?
Just for now. Don't let it go to your head.
Yeah.
All right. But you know what? This week, Dave's first.
Yeah.
Put him up there. Put him on the billboard.
How you doing, buddy?
You went out of town. I was out of town. I told you to come over here so we record at 7, and then I was watching Fast and Loud for an hour.
Yeah, that's okay. I'll sit around and watch you watch race car shows.
I watch real shit television.
You do.
I can't, like, I can't keep up. Like, everybody watches good Game of Thrones, and I am an asshole. Like, if I met me, well, okay, let's not just jump right in before. I'll give you the reasons. It wasn't a blanket statement.
Oh, okay.
But if some, like, when people are like Game of Thrones, no, fucking give a fuck about Game of Thrones. But I don't. But then I watch crap. Mm-hmm. I watched Hoarders today. Today I watched Hoarders, and I watched the Fast and Loud show, the race car show.
And you also like the fat people show,
the 600-pound Life.
Yeah, big fan of that.
I don't like it. I think it's just it is that weird thing where you watch those shows and you're reminded, well, that's not me. Mm-hmm. So maybe it makes you feel better about yourself. Not that you're looking down on the other people, but it is, in a way, like, wow, it's kind of fast. Like, how did somebody get to that point? Like, what? How do you get to that point in your life?
Yeah.
I think it's a curious study in sociology. Granted, the shows are all exploitive and everything, but anyway, sorry I made you get over here an hour early.
Oh, that's okay. I got nothing but time.
Hillbillies drive their cars around.
So you were in Birmingham this weekend.
I was in Birmingham for Wes Van Horn and Kristen Rand's wedding.
Yeah.
Two lovely people about to welcome a third lovely person in
That's
the world.
That's right.
And it was a great time. We did a show at Seasick Records. Shout out to Seasick Records for giving me a free T-shirt. Shout out to a guy named Jim who just gave me a bottle of his own whiskey that he made that was very good. And he took a sip first before he gave it to me to prove that it wasn't tainted.
That's funny. I got to start doing that because people bring me food and stuff at my shows.
Yeah.
I got to start making – you eat it first.
Well, and then if it's just – what if it's not poisoning, but it's just like food poisoning? It's just salmonella. It wasn't intentional. But it was a great time. I ate my face off. I did what I wasn't supposed to do with gout, which was eat barbecue and drink beer.
What'd you get into?
I went to Saw's Barbecue. Ooh. Rachel and I got there on Friday.
Now, which Saws did you go to? There's two in Birmingham. Did you go to like kind of the old town downtown one, or was it kind of out in the
this,
a little bit?
I mean, this was in Avondale.
Was it freestanding, or was it part of like a little downtown strip?
It was across from the Saturn. I don't know where. It's small inside, and then you sit in the alley next to it.
That's probably the downtown one. I've been to both. Big fan of Saws Barbecue.
You went to both, of course. They've been to both.
Yeah, the same day.
You guys doing a different over at the one across town? Let me just check it out. You say the same day?
No, I'm kidding. That was the
joke. Really? Are you kidding?
Maybe. I don't know. I have eaten at the same establishment twice in one day. I've been known to eat Bojangles for breakfast and lunch. So.
And I have gout. Mm-hmm. I'm the one with gout.
I still think that's funny that you're the one with gout.
Yeah, it's fucking hilarious.
I get a kick out of it.
I'm glad.
So you had Saws? What else did you get into?
Rachel and I landed, we went to Saws, each got a sampler platter.
Uh-huh. Did you like
it? I haven't had meat in... I had meat like 5 weeks earlier when my parents were in town.
Was that literally the last time you had meat?
Yeah, so I only do it for special occasions.
Okay. What was on the sampler platter? I don't know.
Three wings with the white sauce. I got the white sauce. Three wings.
Alabama
pork,
white sauce.
Pulled pork. Brisket.
You get some ribs?
Didn't get ribs. Ribs weren't with it. I got a side of mac and cheese. Oh, shit. I don't remember.
Did you get any collard greens?
I housed it. I got greens.
Get any fried okra?
No fried okra. No. You know what? I don't even remember. I housed it so fast, and then we went back to the hotel, fell asleep.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to be a haunted hotel, and I forget who we were asking if it was haunted. The guy, the shuttle driver from the airport, but he's like, nah, I haven't heard anything.
What was the name of the hotel?
The Tutwiler Hotel. It's a Hampton Inn, but it's a Tutwiler Hotel. It was a Tutwiler Hampton Inn. You can't be like, ooh, I'm at the haunted Hampton Inn.
That's funny. Like when a chain buys up a haunted hotel.
This La Quinta has poltergeists. Poltergeists are just pissed. This used to be Regal. Now you're just worried about your points. Nobody comes to my haunted room now that everybody gets free upgrades.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, so, but no ghostly activity.
What else do you eat?
Shit, man. I went to Hattie B's.
They have a Hattie B's in Birmingham?
They got Hattie B's in Birmingham.
I know they're getting one in Atlanta, which I'm very excited about. They're based out of Nashville.
Yeah.
So I didn't know about the Birmingham one.
You've been to Hattie B's, I mean. What hot?
Dozens of times.
What hot did you get? Did you get the hottest?
I don't try. Here's the thing with hot chicken and any spicy food, and we may have talked about this. Just leave your machismo at the door.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to prove a point.
But I like it.
I always go for medium. Whatever
I got
it is.
The one below the hot. Like, there was the hottest one that was like in red on the menu.
Yeah,
I got the one below that.
Got to sign a waiver or
it
something.
It was tasty and very hot.
Mm-hmm.
And I got pimento mac and cheese.
Yes.
It was a great meal.
Hattie B's is solid.
It felt like, sorry for the throat clearing. Listen, somebody kindly emailed in some suggestions about to make the podcast better with structure and everything. Dave had an issue with it. I'm talking to you, the listener, now. I'm not even looking at Dave. I'm talking to you. Thank you for the suggestions. We just figured out to turn our phones off near the microphone. Let's not. This isn't going to go, you know, bells and whistles right away.
Yeah.
I'm still coughing into the mic.
It's a work in progress.
We just figured out how to get some of the noise from our phones away from it. We'll get, like, give us another 6 months and there might be structure. Anyway. Yeah, Hattie B's was hot. I think that's I think that must be like what happened to my asshole is what happens. Like, is that what an STD feels like? Like it was hot. It was hot like that.
That's a premise right there.
It was like, oh, this is what VD. Nobody calls it venereal disease anymore.
That's true.
Classic.
Venereal.
STD. Why the three? Oh, I got caught some VD. Caught a case of the vid.
It's funny. I'm writing a pilot, and mm-hmm. I refer to van dwellers as VDs. And I thought about that the other day.
It's time to rewrite that pilot.
I thought about how it's not a very common term anymore, venereal. So I'm going to commandeer that.
I'm venereal.
Make VD.
What does that mean? Where is that just a region?
So I don't know. I have no idea what venereal means.
Maybe that's why nobody uses the term anymore.
Hmm. Yeah, maybe right. So. What other side did you get at Hattie B's? I know they have the pimento mac and cheese.
I don't remember.
Did you get greens?
I don't remember. I got greens somewhere. I love Hattie B's. That was delicious. Birmingham was lovely. The wedding was nice. Is it Mike and Dave's? The other barbecue place?
No.
What's one? And it's Wes's buddies.
Nick and somebody.
Nick and Dave's? Nick and Mike's.
Damn it.
Anyway, it was Mike and Dave.
Yeah, and Nick and some, yeah.
No, Nick, because Nick was the guy who was there. He was the best man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've met Nick, good dude.
And they catered it. So mm-hmm. I had barbecue again, and I...
Nick and Jim's.
There we go, Nick and Jim's. Mike and Dave's. Fucking, no, they need wedding dates. Nick and Jim make the barbecue. Mike and Dave, they're still looking for wedding dates. Ugh, like I said. That goes into the subliminal... I will talk about that. It was buffet style, and I got back to the table, and I realized I looked like I was making a plate for somebody who couldn't come to the wedding. Like, I got back to the table, I had so much food on my plate. I was like, I thought, come on, it's the South, it's barbecue, and I'm just having, like, a sensible portion. I just had a mountain of meat. Rachel and I both, we just went nuts.
Nick and Jim's a solid.
Yeah, when they're not serving it to you, you're like, oh, I can just take as much as I want. Mm-hmm. Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah, dance floor was a lot of anchors just clanging around out there.
I saw some pictures. Was it the wedding or the reception?
Oh, no, it was the wedding. Tie? I had a pink cowboy shirt and a bolo tie, and Sam Talent showed up wearing the exact same thing.
That's funny.
That was fun.
That was at the actual wedding?
Yeah, he just showed up and just walked up going, ah,
what are the odds that both you goobers would wear pink shirts and bolo ties?
Pretty good, given the level of goober we both are, I think.
Shout out to Sam Talent. Love Sam.
Sam Talent, delightful man. Ugh. In Las Vegas right now. His missus is going to grad school, so he's in there. He's not having a good time. Very hilarious comic.
Yeah.
If you're in Vegas, go find him and go see a good comedy show.
Just a big old mountain of a man. Just a jolly mountain of a man.
First time I met him, he fell out of a hammock in Humboldt County. We all went up there for a comedy festival.
That makes sense.
Which a comedy festival in pot country Not a surprise. Not well organized.
People are going to fall out of hammocks.
Well, it's like, oh, do we have a place to stay? Like, nah, you can all stay at my house. The guy putting a show on. And it's like, yeah, there's like 15 of us. And we got there, and everybody's just on the floor. And then Sam's like, oh, there's a hammock on the porch. I'll sleep there. And in the middle of the night, he's like, blung. And Sam comes in all wet. And he's, hammock broke. It fell into a puddle. It was cold out, too. It's when I first met. Who's that barefoot guy who fell into a puddle as that? Sam Talent. It's like, that's his name? The guy who broke a hammock?
Do you have on his overalls?
He looked like he like maybe crawled in from the woods.
He's always rocking the Carhartt overalls.
Yeah. Yeah. Good people, though. Looks like the Hills Have Eyes type of predator, but good people. Once you get to know them.
Oh, boy.
What'd you do, Dave?
I don't know. I had a good week.
Yeah.
Babysat. Someone paid me money to babysit their child.
Either be Dave the babysitter or Dave the guy who surprises masturbators in the middle of the night. But don't, like...
I can't be both?
This is like when strippers put pictures of their kids up on Twitter. Where you're like, ooh, it's Titty Tuesday. Ooh, it's Booty Wednesday. Ooh, it's I'm a Good Mom Thursday. Like, no, fucking no.
I got range, baby. I can do it all.
Oh, not after they hear this.
The funny thing is, though, is our, I can talk about this. It's our buddy Rory.
Yeah.
I babysat his beautiful child. Mm-hmm. But Rory and his lovely wife, I don't think they know my current situation. So
you got I don't know these if these microphones are on.
He obviously doesn't listen because I've talked about this.
All right,
on the Boogie Monster.
But then somebody's going to hear it and tell him. Well, somebody's going to leave a comment. Your babysitter lives in his van.
Yeah, that's what I found amusing about it. But yeah, he was just like, "So you still living over there with Ryan?" I was like, "Yeah." I just kind of made a noise, and then we moved on. But yeah,
so you lied to him.
I didn't lie to him. It just, you know, it's like, hey, you know, if you don't know the answer to that question, that means you didn't listen to the podcast. So
fuck you, Rory.
Yeah, fuck you, Rory. I babysat his beautiful little girl, but I just, you know, I felt at that moment it didn't feel appropriate to mention that, by the way, I live in a van. But no, I got your girl. I'm good. She's in good hands.
Babysitting doesn't feel appropriate.
I'm a responsible person.
How many exasperated sighs did you have before?
Yada, yada, yada.
I mean.
So, I got a whole new career on my hands. So that's good. Anybody needs any babysitting services? Holler at old Dave. I got time.
He'll come to you.
I almost got sprayed by a skunk.
Oh, God. I think I can guess how.
Just one of my midnight ramblings.
What were you out there, poking it with a stick?
No, I was just out walking.
Police in the neighborhood again.
Getting my steps in at 1 a.m. And a skunk crossed right in front of me. Like a foot and a half in front of me.
Yeah.
And, boy, it's a...
Did it stop? Did it put its tail up?
Really dot. Yeah, he put his tail up. I immediately, just turned on a dime and just went the other way. Like, really dodged a bullet there that he didn't spray me. That's what happens when you lurk around.
Yeah, you're nocturnal, much like all these animals and masturbators you're meeting.
Oh, man. Got that guy good. Scared the shit out of that dude.
I still think you should let him alone.
Well, that's my neighborhood, man.
Well, it's his too because he parked there.
No, exactly. He parked there. I live there.
You parked there.
I mean, yeah, but I've established residency. It's my territory.
All right.
I'm there every night. That's the first time I saw him.
I don't think we can go down this avenue again.
Now, if it was a thing, like I do have neighbors. I don't know if I've talked about this. I have established eye contact relationship with some other van dwellers. Now, if it was that case where it was like, there's three. I've got three neighbors. I've yet to speak to them, but there's three other van dwellers. What?
I don't like how much you're into this.
I'm not into it. It's just my life.
You have a tattoo of a van on your arm.
Yeah, I mean, you know, because my beloved...
You're supposed to have that to remember when you used to live in a van.
Well, it was the van that got wrecked. It was sentimental value. My point is, if it was one of my fellow van dwellers and I stumbled upon him doing his thing, I would have just kept walking and not said a word. But he drove there specifically to do that, and that's my hood, and no sir. Not that I didn't kick him out, but I'm gonna make a snarky comment.
All right. Well, you know where I stand on this issue. Just trying to find a lonely place. I mean, more lonely than already having to go somewhere to jerk off in your car.
Yeah. Not on my watch.
Well, all right.
I do need to. If I was a smarter man, I'd have the right vocabulary for this. I don't know what the term is. Talked a lot of shit about Carl's Jr. Not a fan of their food. Yeah. Big fan of their Wi-Fi. Was hanging out there last night, by the way.
Hanging out?
I was just hanging out. Just doing some work. Doing some work on the old computer.
You're using those terms wrong.
Just doing work.
Just hanging out at Carl's Jr. doing work.
The last gravy boat was broadcasted live from the Carl's Jr. parking lot. Anyway, I got hungry. I folded. I went through the drive-thru. Gotta say, Carl's Jr. chicken fingers, pretty good. Pretty good.
Well, but chicken fingers.
Exactly. But.
Hard to fuck up.
Tell that to KFC. We talked about that a few weeks ago. KFC has, it's in their name, but somehow they've figured out how to fuck up a chicken finger. Carl's Jr., solid chicken finger.
Kentucky fingered chicken.
Yeah. Solid chicken finger at the old Carl's Jr. Well, I don't know the term, but I gotta apologize for all the negative talk. And hamburgers are still garbage.
Yeah.
But kudos to Carl's Jr. for the chicken fingers.
Here's a weird question. When's the last time you had a hamburger, not a cheeseburger?
Oh, that is a great question.
Well,
maybe never.
That's
never.
You ever hear somebody?
Why would you
ever hear somebody order a hamburger? I'll turn around in a restaurant and be like, "Excuse me,
my mom. My mom prefers a hamburger over a cheeseburger."
I don't understand.
And every time I'm like, "Mom, have you lost your mind? What's not to like about a slice of cheese on that burger?" Nah, just give me a hamburger. I don't think I've ever the ordered only time a hamburger.
The only time I heard it? My grandmother, in her 90s, like a private detective, got a hamburger and a black cup of coffee at Baker Square. Like a boss.
Yeah.
Like that was it. Hamburger, black cup of coffee.
Oh, man. There you go.
I did my acupuncture today.
Really? You're doing that on a weekly basis?
Yeah, I'm trying to get on it every week.
What do they puncture? What part of the body?
Well, they're doing my knee and my ankle a lot because that's what was screwed up.
Here's a question.
One in the middle and the forehead and the hands.
You just answered it. So even though the ailment is in the knee, they will puncture other parts of the body?
All right. It's part of a bit I've been trying to sort out. I'm doing Western medicine and Eastern medicine. Let's just try and meet in the middle. I'm going to regular doctors. I'm getting MRIs and shit about gout, and I had fluid taken out of my knee. And then I'm on anti-inflammatories.
So they let you keep that fluid?
There's no need for that. Eh. There was zero reason to keep medical waste.
Put it in a mason jar.
Dave, you already live in a van. All right. You don't get to keep fluids.
I kept my tooth that they pulled.
God damn it, Dave. I know, like, we're honest on this thing, but just... If you want to keep your babysitting job, maybe.
Okay.
I kept my tooth that they pulled.
I did. I kept it.
Put it on a necklace.
Mm-hmm. Along with my kidney stones.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry. I interrupted.
Well.
So you got a knee problem, but they put a needle in your forehead.
They're little tiny. They look like just like. Thicker gauge guitar strings.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they're
wobbly.
It's
supposed to be like ones for like your chi or whatever you say. But what happens is you lay there, and they itch a little bit at first, and you lay there, and a little Korean woman is very sweet and Even if it's a ploy to get me to come back every week, it works. She's like, oh, no alcohol. I'm like, well, I had some. It's, oh, I know, but it's bad.
She can tell?
No, I just told her. I'm like, oh, I went out this weekend. I'm like, oh, I know. But she's like, I have it, and my liver's bad, so I have to take herbs and this. And she's very
they stick one soothing. In your liver.
She's very calm. And then she'll just like rub my shoulder. She's like, it's all okay. It'll be okay. And then she puts on that weird spa music, which is like almost music. It's more of a soundscape, but then there's weird like water, like slow motion, boing, water drops in it. And it's very soothing. And you can't really move because you have these needles in you. And I lay perfectly still for 45 minutes without moving anything. And I got to this point. It wasn't hallucinations, but it was that almost falling asleep, this period of relaxation where all the thoughts, where you're not censoring any of your thoughts, you know? And it's kind of like when I've had sleep paralysis, which uh-huh. we can get into another time, but it wasn't because I'm like, no, I know I'm laying there. I can't move because I know I have these needles in me. But then for some reason, maybe because I drive by the dog park to get there, I was like, oh, dogs. And for some reason, I just saw a German Shepherd automatically, and its name was Dolphin. So I immediately.
How do you know its name was Dolphin?
Because it was. How do I know it was a German Shepherd? I just saw it in my head. Then I didn't see it at the dog park. I saw it in my mind.
Oh, okay.
While gotcha. I was laying there. And I was like, oh, this is a cool dog. Holy fuck. And then I saw a German Shepherd afterwards. Maybe it was a collie. I don't know, but it was close to it. But then I was like, wait, Dolphin. What if its name was Dolph? Wait, that's short for Adolf. I saw a German Shepherd named Adolf. That's fucking weird. In my almost dream state.
Hmm.
During acupuncture. It was just a strange thing that happened today. I got no rhyme or reason to it. It was just a strange. But I left feeling very blissful,
yep.
very peaceful. So even if it doesn't fix my gout or whatever, if I walk out feeling completely calm and at peace with things and not worried about what was stressing me out, then what's the harm?
Hmm.
You know, the same reason people meditate or go to yoga class or do all kinds of stuff. That's what the acupuncture did for me. Right on.
How long is each session?
I think it's 45 minutes.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting. Can you get, like, if I went in there with no ailment, would they still puncture me? Could I just say, hey, yeah, stick the needles
it's
in?
It's just it. About, some of it's like, I don't know anything about it. It's about, you know, accessing pressure points. But it's also for stress. People use it to quit smoking. People use it for nerves or anxiety or depression. It's all those kind of things. Again, if you want to believe in it, and then it helps, then what? You're not harming anybody by doing it. If you're not, you know, going poor, going to those things, then have your own little Winchester mystery house. Everybody can have whatever metaphor of the Winchester mystery house, which I think we talked about.
Did we?
Well, you know what it is, right?
No.
Oh, you don't know about that place?
Mm-mm.
The heiress of the Winchester rifle fortune.
Mm-hmm. I used to own a Winchester gun.
Okay, well, yeah. Then you added to her problem.
Uh-huh.
She went to a psychic. She, you know, obviously had all the money, and a psychic told her that she was going to be haunted by the ghosts of everyone killed by a Winchester rifle.
Really?
The only way to get avoid these ghosts was to trick them. So it's in San Jose, maybe, or right around San Jose. It's the Winchester Mansion, and she just built. She never stopped building. And it's staircases that go up to nothing. It's doors that open out on the third story into drop-offs. All the trick ghosts. And you can go take a tour of it.
Wow.
Yeah. But if that's what brought her peace of mind, and she wasn't going poor, then, hey, you're a job creator and you're feeling better about it. But that's the thing we can talk about on another episode.
Good for her.
We're already here at a half hour.
Oh, yeah?
And we've been promising to talk about the flat earth.
Yeah, we still got some questions to answer.
Well, we teased it last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized...
We went in cold.
We did go in cold.
Yeah.
Because it came up with all the basketball stars.
Yeah.
And I realized I was calling bullshit right away without hearing anything about it,
uh-huh.
which is what people do about ghosts, and I get upset. So how should I be? Why am I being hypocritical about the flat earth people other than I still think it's bullshit? But you unearthed You unflat-earthed some don't go back on the joke. It was good the first time. Some stuff where you were like, all right, that's good science. You said you didn't believe in it, but there's good. You found some food for thought.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of material out there. And I think I mentioned this last week. The first time I ever heard it was about a year ago. Our buddy Ryan Singer brought it up to me. And at first glance, it seemed so absurd that I was almost insulted that he even brought it up. I was like, what are you?
That's what I felt last week.
Yeah, what are you talking about? What am I, an idiot? No. Like, yeah. That's ridiculous. And I've been doing a little research this week, and I think what it is, and this is kind of a broad umbrella of that falls under most of our topics here, it's the concept of how do you know what you believe to be true is true? Because someone told you. You either read it or heard it. You either read it somewhere or somebody told you about it. And you're like, yeah, that makes sense.
Religiously devout individuals. Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying I'm buying into this yet. But, you know, I think I mentioned this last week. Like, I don't know. I couldn't scientifically prove to you right now why the Earth is round.
Yeah.
The reason I think the Earth is round is because there was a globe in every classroom I ever attended from K through 12 or whatever. Or, you know, it was just was told to me as like, the, you know, there's certain things that are presented to you as common knowledge.
It only exists because globe salesmen.
Yeah. So, I mean, but I can't, you know, I have always assumed and believed that the Earth is round.
So you saw planets are round.
Yeah.
Sun's round, moon's round.
Or so we think, you know, or so we're told. But I don't know. There's a lot of info out there. And I mean, I don't even know where to begin. But, there's a lot of questions. A lot of questions that.
Give me an argument for it. For it being flat. Other than just, well, you can't prove that it's not.
Okay. Well, flat earthers, one of their main arguing points is curvature of the Earth. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, and I think you even said this last week, that you get on an airplane and you can see the curvature, or maybe not the airplane example, but maybe the you see the ocean.
Yeah, if you see the ocean.
I think that's just in your mind that you think that the ocean is curved or that, you know.
All right.
So that's one of the biggest flat earthers, one of their biggest points is curvature of the Earth. We're all – it's one of those things, and I think this is a whole other topic. What is it? Maybe it's the Mandela effect where you think you see – you remember something, but you didn't really
– Somebody wrote in about the Berenstain Bears versus Berenstain Bears.
Yes.
And that it's the Berenstain Bears. And I'm like, wait, there's no fucking way. It was Berenstain.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody, you know, was like too Jewish and changed it. Now it's Berenstain Bears. And I'm like, no way. And that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Mandela effect, I believe it's called.
Yeah.
But okay. If that. I want to hear the counterpoints of like why, if the Earth changes the seasons. Hemispheres, the difference in the hemisphere, that it's changed because of how it's tilted towards the sun, supposedly.
Okay. What the flat earthers believe is that the Earth is not a globe. It is not a sphere. Mm-hmm. It is a disc. They think it's a circle. It's a disc. And that's a great question as far as like how do you justify time zones and the sun's movement and blah, blah, blah. They feel that the sun moves in a figure eight, not unlike the yin-yang symbol. Okay. And because of that pattern, that is how – I mean, at first glance, you would say, well, if it's flat, then the sun's up in the air, up in the sky, then it would illuminate the entire disc.
Yeah.
But if its movement, if the sun's movement is that of a figure eight, then there would be certain parts of the disc that are getting illuminated while other parts are still in the dark, so, and vice versa.
It's not setting. It's just moving further away that it disappears beyond the horizon.
Yes. So that's one of their points there.
Which even to defend that, then, if you travel towards where the sun is setting, mm-hmm. you would follow that. It would remain light.
Yeah.
Because you're chasing the sun around in a figure eight.
Yeah. I don't know who's following the sun.
Well, if you travel to the west and that's where the sun's setting.
Okay. Like if you're...
You remain in the... You know, in an airplane.
Mm-hmm.
You remain in the sunlight longer.
True. Going back to the curvature of the earth thing, I think... Here's an interesting conspiracy. All right. People feel like... Okay. Flat earthers think that... There is no curvature to the earth, obviously, because they believe the earth is flat. Everybody else would say, oh, the earth's curved, and I've seen it because I've been up in an airplane.
Yeah.
They're like, no, you haven't seen it. You think you've seen it. Your brain goes to that because you know you have a preconceived notion that the earth is round, so that you think you're seeing that, but you're not. I mean, flat earthers are like, no one's seen a curvature of the earth. They think even pilots – haven't seen it.
But who benefits from this other than globe salesmen?
That's a great question, too.
And what's on the underside of the thing?
I don't know. That's a great question. My point I was about to make with the conspiracy is flat earthers think that even the actual physical windows that have been installed into an airplane have a kind of a fisheye lens bubble effect. To where, when the passenger's looking out that window, that maybe it presents the horizon in a curvature.
All right. Who's the guy that you found where you're like, all right, the science is kind
of... This dude, Mark Sargent. He's one of the leading proponents of the flat earth theory. And I got to tell you, I mean, the dude, he's seemingly a smart dude. He's well-spoken. He's got a lot of great points. He's not just some Yahoo, you know, from, I mean, maybe he is,
all right.
But he seems like an intelligent, rational dude. He makes a lot of great points. One being, all right, let me see here. All right. I mentioned this last week, how there's almost no legitimate photographs of the earth from space. And his point is because, all right, let me backtrack a little bit.
Oh, right.
It all starts.
I don't envy you're in a tough position of being the one to defend flat earth.
No, and I'm not saying I believe
it. Not that you believe it, but you're just in the debate part of having to defend this.
I want to hear theirs.
I'm here with no science going, no.
I'm interested.
Wrong.
I'm interested in their story, their angle. Yeah. All right. What they feel, what flat earthers feel,
is that they were left out of the conspiracy theory games and they came up with their own.
Is that the earth, we're living in an enclosed system. All right. And what that means is they feel that there is a literal physical dome covering the earth.
Okay.
And what that means is we haven't landed on the moon. We don't travel to space. They feel that there's a ceiling. There's a dome. There's a ceiling to where – and there's it's still foggy on how far – how high up that is. But they think a couple thousand miles upward, and that's it. So that's why they think –
They believe the moon landing was faked.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So flat earthers –
They're doubling up on
– Yes.
They're co-opting all these other ones.
Now. Uh-huh. Yeah.
No aliens.
That I don't know. I mean, who's – yeah. I mean, based on that logic, the aliens wouldn't be able – I don't know if – okay, here's the question that I would have to ask a flat earther. Is that dome penetrable? You know, could a alien
– Yeah.
Could a UFO penetrate that? Anyway, that's a conversation for another time. But they feel that we're living in an
enclosed system. If you're flat Earth shit, so correct. What about aliens, which we all know are real? Huh? Smart guy?
I mean, we're laughing, but that would be one of my...
This fucking idiot saying aliens can't come in. This weirdo. So it's a dome. It's like a snow globe. You're saying we live in a snow globe.
We live in a snow globe, according to the flat earthers.
Fucking fruitcakes.
And that rockets and spaceships have not left our atmosphere. That there's a ceiling. Not unlike the Truman Show. Truman Show? Truman Story? What's that movie?
Truman Show.
Truman Show.
not unlike the Simpsons movie.
Okay, here's the thing that they claim. They say that no astronaut has ever taken a video, you know, whether it be on the ISS or on the moon or whatever. There's no video of an astronaut who's holding the camera taking a shot of 180 degrees or more. You know, kind of the fourth wall thing, as far as like that's a term in show business or television. Yeah. You know,
where it comes back to
a multicam sitcom. Yeah. You know, you're not supposed to break the fourth wall.
It's the audience.
Yeah, because there is no fourth wall. And flat earthers claim that there is no video, and I don't have proof that there is, that there's no video of any astronaut, you know, taking a shot that's 180 degrees, much less 360 degrees. But the point being that they're intentionally not showing or revealing, you know, a full...
Well, somebody said I forget the name of the spaceship that went up that takes a picture of the Earth every 30 seconds. It doesn't, they're not, it's not the breaking the fourth wall thing. Mm-hmm. There's like a live camera on the Earth.
And that, times. And I didn't write this down, but I think it's Apollo 7 or 17 maybe. There's only one non-composite shot of the Earth. I mentioned last week how a lot of the images that NASA puts out are composite images, meaning that they'll kind of puzzle it together, and that's what I was talking about. Those cloud patterns, and there are images to where they can highlight and be like, oh, that cloud pattern is clearly the exact same.
Here, I fired on the exercise ball.
It's good. Makes an interesting sound.
There's a storm in the dome.
It's like a snare drum.
Yeah. Sorry.
Apparently, there's only one composite shot of the Earth. And I don't know if it's Apollo 7, 17, whatever. And their point is because you can't get high enough because of the dome. And they call that where are my notes? Firmament? That's the technical term of the dome. And there's even reference to that in the Bible. The firmament.
The firmament?
Uh-huh.
Now that we're going to these books like the Bible to prove it.
Another point they make is...
The Earth is flat, it's covered in a dome, and also no homos. According to our science book, the Bible. No aliens, no gays. Earth is like a pizza with a lid.
Oh, man. Thank God that term has kind of – that's fallen off in the last few years. That was real popular 5 years ago.
Homo.
No homo. Hey, Kyle, no homo, but I like those shoes.
Somebody signed off an email, like just a – like I was like, oh, man.
No homo.
You can just compliment
knock it off.
Another person.
This is very intriguing, all right? Flat earthers also believe – that commercial air traffic routes for the southern hemisphere, they feel like that they're incorrect. And meaning they think that there's like, okay, how can I put this? Oh, man, I should have probably got into this.
This is going to be a three-part episode.
Without all the Jim Beam.
Come on, it's fun this way.
All right. In a globe, in a round globe situation, for example, the route from, let's just say, Sydney, Australia to somewhere in Brazil, if it's a globe,
Rio de Janeiro,
that's going to be a fairly direct path across the Pacific.
All right.
The South Pacific. All right. And if we had a globe here, it would help us. But all right, pretend there's a globe here and you've got Australia. You've seen a globe.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be, in theory, that would be a straight line from Sydney to Rio de Janeiro. Okay. But in their model, in the flat Earth model, that globe flattens out and then it's not such a direct path between Australia and Brazil. Therefore, they say if you take a flight, if you were to try to book a flight from Australia to Brazil, that seemingly on your globe model, on your sphere model, that would be a direct flight. But yet it's not. And I did a little bit of research on that. A flight from Sydney to Rio de Janeiro is it's a minimum. The smallest one I found, the quickest one I found, was 39 hours. Imagine being 39 hours on a plane.
That's a long time.
8,400 miles is basically what that comes out to.
All right.
And it shouldn't take that long. It shouldn't take 39 hours. For example, like L.A. to New York is 2,800 miles. That takes, what, 4 or 5 hours?
5 hours.
So their point is, because the Earth is flat, they say that if you take a flight – and we're talking southern hemisphere here. Any flight from point A to point B, if both points are in the southern hemisphere, are not going to be a direct line, a direct flight.
Why the southern hemisphere, though?
Southern hemisphere because – great question.
We're not smart enough to.
Now, I'll admit, all this shit's over my head.
This is why they're getting away with it. Because it all just sounds like we can call bullshit, but then we're like, well, why? And they can explain it in a way that we won't understand.
Well, on the southern hemisphere,
they're confidently wrong.
Because if you take a globe and then you flatten it out, the stuff on the southern hemisphere, the continents or the countries on the southern hemisphere, they're going to be further away from each other than the stuff that's clustered in the northern hemisphere.
Well, all right. If you flatten it out, where's the flattening point? Is Australia on the left and South America on the right? Or when you flatten it out,
what's
on the left, what's on the right?
There's no left, there's no right, there's no east, west, north, south. Because it's a disc. It's a disc. So if you think
of it, what's in the middle of the disc?
The middle of the disc would be North America and Europe and stuff like that. Northern hemisphere.
That's convenient.
Yeah, exactly. So.
What?
It's very. This goes so deep.
I don't think it does. I think it goes just like the theory. It's pretty shallow. It's flat.
Let me talk to you. All right. Here's another point they make. Richard Byrd. Richard Byrd was a
old Dick Byrd.
Old Dick Byrd. He was an American naval officer. He was the youngest admiral in the history of the Navy, and he was kind of at the helm of Operation High Jump back in 1946. He led an expedition of 4,700 men on 13 ships, 33 aircrafts. He discovered a landmass. Prior to that, he had gone. I think he was the first guy to kind of explore the North Pole.
Oh, he'd gone to the North Pole. I was a little kid about this guy.
Yeah, he'd gone to the North Pole several times. I think he was the first one to kind of discover what's going on up there back in the 40s. Well, Operation High Jump back in 46. He led it, like I said, he led an expedition of 4,700 men, 13 ships, 33 aircraft. He discovered a landmass beyond the South Pole. He went down to Antarctica, but he said beyond Antarctica, beyond the South Pole, there's a landmass the size of the United States that was completely undiscovered. He went back in 56 for Operation Deep Freeze. He stated that that whole area is a completely untapped resource for oil and coal and uranium, and a lot of countries were kind of getting ready, starting to prep to go down there and do some research. Then in 59, the Antarctica Treaty was signed, and basically, I don't know if you know about the Antarctica Treaty, that basically states that no one nation can claim ownership to Antarctica. Richard Byrd thinks that the answers lie in Antarctica, that's the edge. Now, on the flat Earth map, Like I said, it's a disc. Antarctica would be the outer perimeter of that disc, that outer crust. So Antarctica would kind of encapsulate the entire outer perimeter, and that would be the edge of the Earth. And that's
why.
Where's
the North Pole?
North Pole would be on their map, if you think about that. If you take the globe and flatten it out into a disc, North Pole would be in the dead center. And then Antarctica would be on the absolute outer perimeter. And he thinks that that's why they created and signed the Antarctica Treaty, because they didn't want people down there snooping around. Yeah.
All right. I just got interested.
Mm-hmm.
You threw your pinky up while you were drinking that bourbon on that one. You sat back happy with that and threw a pinky up.
I'm a fancy boy.
They don't want people snooping around. Yeah. Diabolical.
I mean, Antarctica's always been intriguing because...
Why can't anybody... I want to know more about this treaty of nobody can have. That's just interesting in its own right. Like, why...
Well,
not?
Because there's no human inhabitants. There's no indigenous people. So apparently part of the Antarctica Treaty was like, hey, everybody being other countries.
Yeah.
Nobody lives down here, so let's all kind of share this. And
but which countries got to decide that? Nothing to see here. We should probably leave it alone. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which countries, who signed that treaty? And who out of the treaty has actually been there to be like, yeah, we should make sure nobody comes here?
Yeah.
Now I'm just curious about Antarctica.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Antarctica is very
alien bases, whatever's going on. That in its own right.
What was that movie, The Thing? Did you see The Thing?
Oh, yeah.
Was that Antarctica?
I was a little kid.
They remade it, I think.
Kurt
but the
Russell,
original
yeah.
was, well, that was a good movie. I think that was
the Antarctica. And North Pole, yeah. I'm going to revisit that one.
But yeah, so, and then flat earthers think that there's a 150-foot tall wall of ice that is kind of the border, the boundary.
It's not that tall.
That's what they think.
I mean, we got buildings, you know. So.
Now,
oh, tooting on the yoga ball.
That's good timing right there.
Now that I'm thinking about it, only because I farted on the yoga ball, but then I thought about the flattening the yoga ball out and how the South American countries would be further apart because they'd be in the outer surface of the disc.
Yeah.
But then why wouldn't you fly over? Well, I guess you do fly over the North Pole to go to Russia, right?
I don't know. I mean, you could, but I don't think that would be the most direct path.
Well, it would. If it was flat.
Yeah.
So you think airlines are just doing this because they got to keep up with the flatter, like they got to keep up with the illusion?
That's the thing. Somebody's in on this. Astronauts, pilots.
Globe makers.
Pilots. I mean, a pilot would know what's up with this. All right. There's a flat earth society. There's a whole society of people that believe in this stuff. And there's a website.
Let's say whole society.
And
nine unfucked dudes.
All right, let me read you something from their website. They have a FAQ on their website. One of the Qs would be, can you see the curvature from an airplane? And this is what the Flat Earth Society's response is. No. Even if the Earth was a globe, this would be an impossibility. We have testimonies from several pilots saying that no curvature can be seen at commercial airline heights, which is around 35,000 feet. It has been suggested that airplane windows serve to distort the view of passengers and make them believe they see curvature when indeed there is none. This was likely a ploy by early airline companies to sell more tickets. So they feel
sell more tickets.
Yeah.
That's dumb. Fucking, you know what? People are not mystified enough that they're flying through the atmosphere. Look out the window. Looks flat. I'll drive next time. You know what? Instead of taking 5 hours to get from LA to New York, I think I'll take that train that takes 10 days because the window's kind of boring. Fuck these guys. fuck these guys.
All right, flat
earth. Like, I'm buying the idea almost. Not that I believe in it, but mm-hmm. I could see that. But these guys are dumb.
Flat Earth Society. What about the ISS and satellites? Answer.
Yeah.
While one can see satellites in the sky at night, it is generally agreed upon that they are not actually satellites, but pseudo-satellites or stratellites put there to fool us.
We got a balloon wrapped in Christmas lights. Anytime we know somebody's doing mushrooms at a campsite, we just kind of make sure it goes by every once in a while. They love it. Why try and hide it? Why all the effort to make sure people think the globe? Is this all just Columbus fanatics?
I don't know. That's a great question. And I had this somewhere in my notes, but now I can't find it. But yes, why? Why hide it?
What serves to like hide that the Earth would be flat?
Well, why? All right, hypothetically, and we've kind of touched on this in previous episodes. Let's say the government knows about aliens, or the government knows about fill in the blank. Why hide that?
Because human beings would lose their shit and not be able to handle it.
Well, there you go.
Why? No, nobody would lose their shit if the Earth was flat, because it would have been flat the whole time. Who just one day was like, it's round? Make sure everybody thinks it's round.
I think Copernicus was the one that said, hey, I think that this flat Earth shit. For like the first 4,000 years of society, of civilization, we thought that the Earth was flat.
Yeah.
And then Copernicus, back in the 1500s, he was like, nah. I think it's round, and he had a bunch of math and equations and shit to prove his point. And then we were all like, all right, you seem to know what you're talking about. We believe that. And then now people are like, nah. Well, it's connected to like the moon landing thing. Like, I think, or flat earther, not me, I won't say I, flat earthers think that the moon landing was fake and that they attempted it. But then they hit the firmament.
Yeah.
They hit their glass ceiling there and couldn't go any further. And they're like, oh, shit. We gotta hide this. We gotta cover this up.
So a mission to go to the moon. I'm fascinated with this theory. I'm fascinated with people that believe in this theory. I feel this is a three-part episode, Dave. I think now I gotta go read some of this stuff. There's no offense, Dave. You're not convincing me. Although the idea...
I'm not trying to convince you.
No, but the idea that if the Earth is flat and you fly around the Earth means you flew in a circle. Not around, but you flew in a circle.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just making a lot of right turns.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of going over stuff. But when that show in the navigation,
I don't know.
Like if you put a plane on the equator and pointed it directly west, in the same time that the sun is, you know, whatever time of the year, the sun is also directly west, rotating. We're spinning with the sun directly on the equator, and you point that plane straight and navigate straight. You should wind up in the same spot.
Yes, in theory.
If it was a circle, you would just be veering south immediately.
Yeah.
So that's more science. If anybody's out there that's a flat earther, help us out.
Yeah.
Must about to go like amazing Kreskin. I'm not going to give you $1 million if you could prove magic's real, but I'll give you like $10 if you can get me beyond this flat earth is bullshit stance. I'll give you a gift card. I give you a Carl's Jr. gift card, good for only the one that Dave lives behind. And you can go tell him about it. You can convince him, and then he'll relay the information to me. I think this is a three-parter, Dave.
Okay, all right.
Because I want to keep I still have more questions. I think we might have to get our first expert in here. And by expert, I mean some dipshit that believes in this.
Yeah. I mean, it's fascinating. And again,
well, you've explained it well, like the idea of it being flat like that. And that now I want to know about Antarctica. This is now what I got to look up for tomorrow.
Yeah. Antarctica is fascinating.
Oh, well.
Speaking of Antarctica.
Speaking of which.
I watched Planet Earth 2. You been watching Planet Earth 2?
Oh, you were getting, you had a hard-on about that.
Oh, my God. What does that mean? I don't know.
It meant wrap it up.
Oh, wrap
it
up.
We gotta go to the concert.
I didn't know if that meant keep going.
No, I did it before.
Oh, okay.
And you're like...
And it's still, before I didn't know what
it meant. Been watching Planet Earth. I'm like, oh, we gotta go see.
Well, I'll talk about Planet Earth next week.
Renting the boys. And I'll watch Planet Earth. I'll watch. Yeah. We'll find out.
I wanted to tell you about these panthers that roam the streets of Mumbai, India.
Yeah. We can get into that.
Imagine that. Imagine a panther roaming the streets of a city.
There's coyotes here.
I stalked a coyote the other day. I'll talk about that next week.
Now we're back to square one.
I still think
much like a circle, we've landed back at the beginning.
Fucking take down a coyote. I ain't afraid of no fucking coyote.
All right.
Break his fucking neck.
Oh, Dave. No.
It's all right. You want to wrap it up? Is this a three-parter?
I think we're further away from where we were last week when we pulled this out of our ass. Sorry to the guy who wanted more structure, but you're not getting it. But you're getting three parts. Let's do a comic of the week.
I got a recipe, too.
What's the recipe?
Which one you want first?
Let's have the recipe. You're going to run out of recipes if you do one every week.
I got a bunch. I'm a pretty good cook, Kyle. I got a whole book of recipes. You want me to save it for next week?
I mean, it's up to you.
I don't give a shit.
The one recipe was just deviled eggs.
What's wrong with deviled eggs?
Well, it's like, I can make deviled eggs.
I doubt it. Where are we at on time?
It's an hour.
So?
Concert's starting.
What time is it?
What's the recipe for this?
Yeah.
Tell me what it's for.
I sat and watched your fucking race car show for
an hour. I know this is my fault.
All right.
I want to rush you through.
Springtime. The weather's changing. People want to start grilling out.
It's got a prelude.
You give a fucking recipe. See your recipe. I made chili out of a fucking can of salsa that I found in my trash can.
I put onions in it though.
What's all right, I'll make
springtime. People are starting to grill out.
Everybody wants to grill out a steak. We've talked about how I cook a steak before. That was an early episode.
Do it in the oven.
Do it in the oven. But that being said, I'm not opposed to taking advantage of some springtime fun.
I do like an oven steak though.
I love an oven steak. But, people, you know, the weather's changing. People want to grill out. Here's how you grill a steak on an actual grill outdoors. A lot of people don't know how to do this shit. I'm going to tell you how to do this shit, all right? First of all, before you do anything, you take that steak out of the fridge. You throw it on the counter. You want to get that shit up to room temp. So the first thing you do when you're grilling out a steak, before you start messing with your grill, take the steak out of the fridge. Throw it on the...
Put it next to you on the couch. Watch an episode of Street Outlaws.
Exactly. Bring that thing up to room temp. 30, 45 minutes, whatever it takes. All right. First off, get yourself a nice charcoal chimney. Do you know what a charcoal chimney is, Kyle?
Big black dick.
What's that got to do with anything? Oh, God.
I wasn't paying attention. I was texting Rachel back.
So that's your default answer? Charcoal chimney looks like a big-ass...
What does it look like?
Looks like a big-ass beer mug. It looks like a 100-ounce...
BBC.
Looks like a 100-ounce beer mug. But it's made out of metal. It's got a handle. It's what would you call it?
Cylinder.
Cylinder. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. It's a big cylinder. Get you a charcoal chimney, fill that shit up to the top with some nice charcoal briquettes, and then on the bottom, there's a little compartment on the bottom with some holes in it. It's a separate compartment that you can put, a lot of people put newspaper. I don't like to do that because I like to burn ink. I don't want ink fumes in my food. I'll put paper towels. All right, so you fill the bottom with paper towels, you fill the top part with charcoal briquettes. That'll get your charcoal going nice and good. All right. You set that shit on top of your grill grate, all right? Let it burn for about 10 to 12 minutes until the charcoal briquettes are kind of white. You want to let it burn till the ones on top won't be white. They'll still be black, but the one you can look down in there, and the ones on the middle and the bottom will be white. That's when you know you're ready to go. All right. Remove the grate. I got my notes here. All right. Remove the grate from the grill and dump the coals down in the grill. All right. Then put the grate back on top. All right. You want to form a two-zone fire. Two-zone fire meaning you take all those coals, you put them on one side of the grill, and then you got none on the other side. So you split it in half. All the coals are on one half. There's nothing on the other half. You let that burn for about 5 minutes. You put the grill grate back on top while those coals are burning in the actual grill now. You've taken them out of the charcoal chimney. Let them burn for about 5 minutes. That's going to loosen up the grime on the actual grill grate. You want to know a dumbass, you see him out there in his driveway with a garden hose trying to scrub his grill grate, he's wasting time. All you got to do is put the grill grate on top of the hot charcoal, burn it off. You burn that shit off, then
just throw it on the sidewalk like I was a couple weeks ago.
Don't do that. Let it burn for about 5 minutes. Then you take your nice grill brush, and then all that grime has kind of melted down and burned off. Then you use that grill brush to scrub that off. Easy as cake. All right. Then you grab your paper towel. Grab about 5 or 6 paper towels. All right. You fold them into a square. Soak it with vegetable oil, and then you use your tongs. You grab your square paper towel thing full of vegetable oil.
The concert's over.
Yeah. You use your tongs. You scrub the grill grate. You've already scrubbed it, the grill grate, with your brush.
This is a three-parter. This fucking recipe.
Then you use your tongs to scrub it, the paper towel, the oil paper towel. All right. You want to lube up that grill grate. All right. Now you go back inside. You got your steak that's been sitting on the counter for 30 minutes. You salt and pepper that bad boy. A lot of kosher salt. A lot of fresh ground black pepper. I don't mess with anything else. Don't worry about onion powder, garlic powder, blah, blah, blah. Really good salt, really good pepper. That's all you need. All right. Then you go back outside. You check the heat.
In case you forgot where your grill was, these are real comprehensive directions.
Some people might say, hey, Kyle, how do I know if my fire is hot enough? You know how you check if your fire is hot enough?
Oh.
You take your hand and you hold it 6 inches from the grill grate. Okay. If you can...
if your flesh bubbles, you're good to go.
If you can... You want to be able to hold it there for about 4 to 5 seconds. All right? If at 5 seconds you can't take it anymore and you pull your hand away, then you know that your fire's hot enough.
If you have to call an ambulance...
Hold your... 6 inches from the grate. Hold that hand there. Any more than 5 seconds, it's not hot enough. All right? Okay. Now... We're ready to go. Ready to cook that steak. All right. Throw the steak on the hot zone of the grill. On the hot zone. Sear that shit for about 2 minutes.
All right. Just
throw it on there for 2 minutes. Flip it. Sear it for another 2 minutes. Then, that's a total 4 minutes cooking time, take it off the hot zone, put it on the cold zone. You don't take it off the grill. You just slide it over to the cold side of the grill. You put the lid down. Then you close the lid, let that shit hang out for about 4 or 5 minutes, okay?
What do we do now? Do we go back inside?
Go back inside, take a walk, do whatever you want to do for 4 or 5 minutes, all right? No, don't flip it on this part.
All right.
You flip it initially, but then when you move it over to the cold zone, you don't flip it. All right, then, all right, I'm not going to go into the whole how do you tell
you're not,
the
really?
Temperature. No, I'm not going to do that because that's going to take even more time, all right? I have a technique. A lot of chefs have a technique on how they can tell the doneness of a steak just by touching it with a finger.
Yeah.
That's some next level shit.
All right. That's what, next week's.
Yeah. Yeah. What you want to do.
What I want to do.
A dipshit like you would want to.
Come back. Should I be back outside?
Yeah. You go out. Back outside. You want to invest in a meat thermometer. Get your meat thermometer.
Yeah.
130 degrees internal temperature would be rare. 135 would be medium rare. 145 would be medium. Why you would go beyond that, I don't know, but some people are stupid.
Don't even give them the capabilities. Don't even give them the knowledge.
150, medium well, 160. Who the hell needs a well-done steak at 160?
Oh, eat it off the yard.
Anyway, there you go. Here's a tip. We got an extra bonus tip here for you.
Oh.
Going backtracking to the previous steps, when you throw the charcoal out of the chimney onto the grill, throw in a handful of pre-soaked wood chips.
All right.
Soak some wood chips for about 20 minutes in a bucket of water. Throw a handful of those in there. That's going to give a little smoky flavor.
Okay. All right.
That's how you grill a damn steak, Kyle.
All right.
Yeah.
Good to know. So many levels. We're inside. We're outside. We're burning paper towels.
Stumbled through that. But, yeah, you know, that's something.
That's good knowledge, though. I don't know. I got a little smoky joke. I couldn't even make a vegan sausage on it. It took me an hour and a half. I was like, fuck this. I microwaved it. Let's do a comic of the week.
All right. We'll wrap it up here. Comic of the week, our mutual buddy.
My buddy John Roy, who I know from Chicago, who I've known from early days of doing stand-up.
Good dude.
Always been a hilarious guy. Probably one of the best joke writers in the business. There's no dicking around with a John Roy bit. Like, oh, you made sure that like every part of that is functional.
No fat on his jokes.
No fat on the jokes.
Yep.
Funny dude.
Got a new album coming out.
New album coming out.
Drops Friday, April 7th, called Everything's Burning. Mm-hmm. That's like his fourth or fifth album. He's got a bunch of albums out there. So in the meantime, that's a few days away. But in the meantime, check out his earlier work. But spanking hot new platter coming out Friday. Everything's Burning, John Roy.
Yeah, give it up for our buddy John Roy.
Yeah.
We got to go to this concert, Dave.
Let's do it.
All right.
Doreen, Doreen.
I was about to turn it off, but you started singing.
I got a button. I could sing some.
The Boogie Monster.